Good morning. We are members of the Same Boat Coalition, which is concerned with social, economic justice, and cultural issues. We are working to democratize the city's political process and the general welfare of all New Yorkers. City Watch provides clear and useful information to listeners so that we all can better participate in our city. This is Dina Colbert. Today we have Leslie Kagan as co-host. She is a member of the steering committee of Same Boat Coalition. She's chair of the interim Pacifica National Board. Welcome, Leslie.
Hi, it's good to be here wearing another hat.
Yes. The topic for today is Pacifica affiliates. First, I have Marty Derlin from KGNU Boulder, Colorado. She's manager and co-founder of Grassroots Radio Conference. I also have Kathy Melio, who's from WERU East Orland, Maine, a producer and co-founder of GRC, Grassroots Radio Conference, and Steve Pierce from WRPI, Troy, New York, a producer. We're all on the air, and also Leslie Kagan.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Leslie. Great to be here.
First, I would like to say that the affiliates have a long history, and so does Pacifica with the affiliates. In the past, there's been a very negative history, and also the only history that existed was a fiscal contract with affiliates. We want to reshape that relationship. We've met with some affiliates at Grassroots most recently, and in thinking about reshaping the relationship, I just want to throw out some ideas that have come up that the committee is looking at. And the committee now, which is the first thing you should know, incorporates a number of affiliate stations. So they've already joined the Pacifica National Board Affiliate Committee. Also, Pacifica is in the process of providing better KU band service, which was the priority that the affiliates requested at the conference. Another idea that we're thinking of is sharing national programming days, taking one specific issue and looking at it nationally across the country. Another in reshaping the relationship is linking websites, possible listserv communication, and lastly, membership on the Pacifica National Board. But before we go into any of that, what I'd like somebody to answer or begin to is, who are affiliates? I know there's Pacifica affiliates, there's Grassroots Radio Conference, there's National Federation of Community Broadcasters. Could somebody be far more specific than I am and describe affiliates?
This is Marty from KGNU. I'll give it a shot. Affiliate stations are community radio stations around the country that happen to take Pacifica programming. They're in markets large and small with all kinds of different licenses, some to universities like the station that Steve represents at RPI, some small, like, communities of 2,000, similar to Jeffersonville, New York, where we just held the 7th annual Grassroots Radio Conference, some in communities of 100,000, like KGNU here in Boulder. They're various. They're all over the country. At one point, there were as many as 65 Pacifica affiliates, and they were taking Pacifica programming. First, it was Pacifica National News, then Democracy Now! We also took special coverage like the Iran-Contra hearings that Larry Bensky anchored many years ago in the late 80s. And like it or not, these stations have all been identified with Pacifica because we have played Pacifica programming. And during the Iran-Contra hearings, for example, audiences at these affiliate stations contributed a lot of money to Pacifica and supported the program initiatives that Pacifica was putting out. So even though formally there was only a relationship of finance, the affiliate stations paid Pacifica for the programming they were receiving, in actuality, there was a political relationship, a political partnership that was going on all over the country that widened Pacifica's audience, that tied people together in all these different communities. Now, I'm not even sure that Pacifica ever really understood what was going on, but that's my perspective.
This is Steve at WRPI, and I would just add one thing to that. As far back as the late 1970s, I remember when I started what I humorously refer to as my career in community media at a college station in Yellow Springs, Ohio. That station used to take a telephone feed of the Pacifica news, and at that point it wasn't a self-contained feed. It was just stories that were contributed from the Pacifica had a great bureau at the UN, and then they had their reporters at the various stations, and they would send out a feed of 15 or 20 minutes every evening over a telephone connection, and that feed went to dozens of stations all around the country. It was a huge thrill for people at stations around the country to have a local story accepted for the Pacifica feed that then went out to all the other stations. So there's a symbiotic relationship that goes back decades, and it's not a fee-for-services kind of relationship. It's a movement kind of relationship. We are all part of the same movement.
This is Kathy in Maine. The Pacifica crisis really helped the affiliates seal our connections even further. In fact, if you wanted to see something good that came out of the Pacifica struggle, I would say that the Grassroots Radio Coalition organized 3 national actions in response to the crisis. We had 20 affiliates participating in each of these actions. A Day Without Pacifica in 99. In 2000, we had We Are Pacifica, quote from Amy Goodman, Community Radio Against Censorship. And last year, we had Affiliates in Exile, joining Democracy Now in Exile. Now, the point I would like to make here is to hopefully show that the affiliates are more than customers to Pacifica's service, but we also helped the dialogue about the struggle get out on our airwaves and in our communities. And we also played a pivotal role in helping Free Speech Radio News get where it is today.
Let me jump in here again. This is Leslie Kagan. For those people listening here in New York, just make a little bit of a connection. Well, why is this being discussed on a show produced by the Same Boat Coalition, where we usually look at very local issues here in New York City? Part of the mission of the Same Boat Coalition and this radio show that we do, City Watch, is to find ways to build bridges, to bring different constituencies together, to strengthen the political alliances on the issues that we face. And in a way, the whole issue of Pacifica's relationship with affiliates and stations who share a common political perspective and a sense of mission, there's parallel there in terms of building bridges and strengthening the work that we each do locally in our own communities, in our own cities, by being part of a national network, a national infrastructure. Let me just jump from that, though, to ask each of you maybe to briefly comment on what can Pacifica, as a national network of 5 stations and 5 big cities, give to the affiliate stations, and what do you all have to offer to WBAI here in New York, but again, Pacifica stations around the country?
Kathy Emilio in Maine again. I keep thinking lately not only what the affiliates have been and what we are, but about what we could be in the future in rebuilding a new Pacifica. You probably all know today is a national day of protest against the war upon Iraq. That national action means so much more than individual states doing their own actions. I hope that the relationship in the new Pacifica can be more interactive. We have great producers all over the country. If Pacifica is going to come up with more dynamic national programming, which I hope and believe it will, I think the affiliates and the producers at our stations need to be part of it, and I also think the listeners do.
Well, I would offer that Pacifica doesn't exist in a vacuum. Pacifica is part of community station world that's part of public radio world, as well as part of a political movement. And one thing that's happened at community radio stations around the country is that we have worked through a lot of the governance issues and the combative internecine struggles that Pacifica has been going through forever and continues to struggle with. We've worked out ways for collaborative decision-making and open decision-making. We've worked out ways for the open-door volunteer sort of porous relationship between community stations and their audiences. We've worked out ways to exercise First Amendment rights. There are stations, they're certainly various, they certainly reflect their unique communities, but we have a lot to offer Pacifica in terms of having dealt with these issues and come out on the other side of them.
It seems to me there would also be a variety of stations who could support an effort. For instance, I know WORT does not have one manager. They have a collective, which is unusual. I'm not suggesting that that's something that Pacifica needs to do. On the other hand, it's not something that's even been discussed.
Yeah, they have a successful model of collaborative management team at WORT. We're talking about the station in Madison, Wisconsin. The volunteers at that station, the unpaid staff, have put together a book of policies and procedures that they use to guide everything, and that's all been done by people who walked in the door as unpaid people and figured out how to get around some of the issues of bad management and its alternative.
Another thing that the Grassroots Radio Coalition and conferences have addressed, which I don't hear being addressed much on the Pacifica stations as I listen on the web, and that is the commercialization of community radio. We're fighting that, the commercialization, the homogenization. We fight censorship, but we also delve into the whole concept of self-censorship, which is replete throughout the nation, as we know.
I would add to that, this is Steve at WRPI and Troy, and I was about to mention, you know, commercialization, homogenization, professionalization of non-commercial broadcasting. Pacifica really led the way in the late 1940s, redefining what the technology of radio could be used for, redefining how it's organized, redefining the expectations, everything about it. And it's proved to be a beacon for people all around the world. And I think the recent events have shown that it's a two-way street. The affiliates, ironically, were the ones holding Pacifica true to its own mission. Pacifica got lost, and at some point in the 80s was taking a very prominent leadership role amongst the smaller stations, and then found itself leading stations astray, just as its own stations got lost, I think, in the really ill-advised effort to take advice from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so I think that if we look at the total media environment, the Pacifica and the other non-commercial stations that are part of the loose affiliate network have far more in common than they have that keep them apart. And we have to always keep that in mind. You have to look at just how devastated the media environment is right now. Certainly commercial radio, which has been contaminated by Clear Channel and these other conglomerate enterprises, but also NPR and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, which is driving public broadcasting in the direction of private commercial broadcasting. Pacifica and the affiliates are the ones in the same boat together, trying to keep clear a sense of purpose and vision, and we have to really communicate with one another and support each other's efforts. These stations individually are being attacked. If you follow the news, you see that in cities around the country, individual stations that used to be part of the Pacifica mandate are turning into cookie-cutter NPR stations. And so one of the things that we can do is have kind of a mutual aid relationship where we can help other smaller stations defend themselves and grow.
Yes, I think that people need to realize, too, that quite a number of years ago, it was many of the affiliate stations that really began to sound the alarm that something was wrong in Pacifica. Sometimes people inside our own stations, you know, sort of invested in their own day-to-day operations, that they weren't looking at the big picture and what was going on and the new direction that some forces were trying to push Pacifica into. And we really do owe a tremendous word of thanks to many of the affiliates around the country who were trying to sound the alarm and call more attention to the need to get Pacifica back on track. Let me also say, though, that I think part of the work that we need to do with each other is a kind of ongoing educational campaign with our audiences and reaching out to other people as well about what exactly is going on in the mainstream media, in the mass media, in this country, certainly, but also around the world. But just looking at the consolidation of ownership in this country and what that means in terms of the quality and the type of programming that people get, that I think Pacifica still is so caught up in, understandably, our own internal struggle to get things right inside our own house, that we are sometimes missing the boat on a number of very, very important struggles out there, both in defense, as Steve was just saying, of other stations, big or small, around the country, but also to work cooperatively and in a collective way, not only with the five Pacifica stations, but with the affiliates, on really mounting a campaign that challenges what is going on in the mainstream media. Where do people get the news? What kind of news are they getting? What kind of, not only straightforward news, but public affairs, and indeed cultural programming too, and the very limited kind of cultural program that people are getting on so many of the radio stations in this country. So I think there's a tremendous amount of work that we need to do together. And I really have come to believe that Pacifica needs the affiliates as much as, maybe even more than the affiliates need Pacifica.
I'd like to add a bit of history about GRC that relates to that. This is Kathy Emilio in Maine again. We founded GRC in 1996. It's important to note that the Telecommunications Theft Act, I like to call it telecommunications theft, happened in 1996, which led the way to the homogenization and the total monopoly of the media we have right now. At our very first conference in 96 in Boulder, some of the so-called Pacifica dissidents showed up. Mariah Gallardon, Lynn Geary, Vince Ivory, Tom Irwin, to name a few. They brought that struggle right out at the first GRC conference, and up until this year, every conference has been permeated by the Pacifica crisis. It played a major role in who we are as GRC. Now we're at a point where we can look ahead and create something new, and I just think that's the way we have to look at it. I get discouraged sometimes reading some of these email lists of the conflict that is still happening within Pacifica, and I really hope and believe we can move ahead beyond that.
Yes. In fact, I hope we do. I'd like to ask a question now. Why specifically would you like membership on the Pacifica National Board? Why do you want to be involved in the governance structure?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. As I said before, I think many of the affiliates have worked through the kind of governance issues that Pacifica is now dealing with. And I think that we could be helpful in bringing some accord to Pacifica. I also believe that we have an investment, and it's not, yes, there has been a financial investment by the Pacifica affiliates in Pacifica. We essentially paid for the KU band equipment. Those costs were passed on to the Pacifica affiliates. But there's also an investment of decades here of partnership, of building communities of interest on political and cultural issues. And if ever there were challenging times ahead of us, this is the time. And I think united we stand, and divided we are vulnerable.
I'd like to open up the phone lines to our listeners. The first listener, please identify yourself.
Yes, good morning. My name is Denise. I would like us to become more creative in our fundraising. I don't think that commercialization is the way for us to go. But I think that we as a national radio station should start to look at it from a political standpoint. I'm a single woman. I pay a lot of taxes. And I would like some of my money to go back into stations such as yours, television programs as well. I would like the government to support community-sponsored programming. And I think that we as a national network of communication group should try to promote them. We try to do something politically to put some kind of a bill through and get it through so that some of the monies will be channeled through to stations such as ours.
Thank you, Denise.
You know, I wanted to say that that is happening through the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, that the money that Pacifica gets and many community stations get is federal money that taxes are paying for. It's a paltry amount compared to what we're paying for the war effort, but it's a dollar a year per citizen for both radio and television for public broadcasting. But at least some of that is happening, and there are questions about the policies of CPB and whether they're friendly to us, but at this point, I think all of us are receiving those funds, and it is a use of taxpayer money.
And Marty, I'll also point out here that we took back Pacifica. It makes me believe that we can take back the planet, but I also believe that we can take back CPB. And I believe that many of these institutions that are so-called public institutions need to be repossessed by the public. So the caller was right on, and we'll take back CPB too.
I think one of the problems with government as a source of funding is that certainly in recent years, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting has used its funding as a club to try to reorganize the stations. And that's partially what happened at Pacifica. And it's happened at other stations, too. They make rules about how you have to organize your programming and audience target goals and all kinds of subtle and not-so-subtle control mechanisms, so you need a balance of funding. You know, getting back to why the affiliates might want to have some representation on the board, it might be a good thing for Pacifica, because my experience looking at the board conversations, certainly during the most troubled period at Pacifica over the past few years, but even more recently, shows that there's a real lack of understanding about community radio as a movement and the media democracy movement. And it's not that different from what I find here at our local station, which is a student-run club at Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. The students are running a community-based station. Everybody's a volunteer, and there's a lot of community members mixed in with students. It's a great experience for them. But the students who are running the station don't have a model to go by other than what they know personally. And what they know personally is the FM rock station that they listen to in high school. And that's an extreme example of the problem, but it's the same problem exists at Pacifica. People only know what they know, and you've got to open them up and expose them to different models, different ways of doing things so that they think critically about what it is that they're doing. What I saw at Pacifica was that they were just replicating CPB and mainstream public radio strategies for the past decade or so.
Steve, that's why we need an affiliate seat on the Pacifica board, because as in everything else, if all of the voices are not at the table, that voice will not be spoken. And we need someone at that table, at that board meeting, who will be able to speak for the affiliate concerns, because the affiliates can help Pacifica really become new and different. And so I feel very strongly that we need at least one seat on that board. It would be like saying, well, we don't need a listener seat on the board. The very least we could do is have one person sitting at that table who understands our issues and our power.
Okay, I'd like to open this up to another listener. Hello?
Hi, this is Brother James in Manhattan, and welcome to our affiliates. I'm glad the mystique is being pulled off. You obviously very energetic and intelligent people from around the country. What protective situation are you yourselves in? Right now, we are very fragile, and an extension and a solidified way of agreements with affiliates who are also under assault means that the network has to undertake to participate to liberate any oppressive measures. I believe that we have to really begin to authorize by resolution serious negotiations for a solidified, meaningful agreement with the affiliates once we can see that it is indeed a conforming and mutually beneficial relationship.
Great. Thank you.
I think those are great points. And one of the things I would say is that one of the strengths of the affiliate relationships between the stations and Pacifica is that there is no conforming relationship. There's a bewildering array of organizational structures that these stations take on. WRPI is a university licensee at a very conservative school and is managed by students at a student club. And that's probably not a very common way of organizing things, and there's nothing that's built into that structure that guarantees a positive relationship with Pacifica or anyone else. Any of the other Pacifica stations would have a slightly different story to tell. We don't do any underwriting. We don't do any on-air fundraising. We basically are all run by volunteers, keep expenses as low as possible, and solicit community donations informally, and that works for us. But I would say that it's the diversity that's our strength.
Well, I would agree, and I think in terms of the problems that we all face, certainly Pacifica is the biggest community station entity we have, and the next biggest station is WMNF in Tampa, which is probably the largest community station outside of Pacifica. Perhaps most community stations have not undergone problems on the scale of Pacifica, as the caller was saying, but I find the threats to be almost exactly identical. There are financial pressures. There are pressures from the community. There are pressures from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And biggest of all, the most difficult thing for all of us is to get along, to keep that door open, and to devise structures and ways of decision-making that are inclusive, that are equitable, and that move us forward. And in these areas, despite the diversity of the governance structures at community stations, I believe affiliates have made some important strides.
This is Kathy again in Maine. WERU lived through the Healthy Station Project. I'd like to point that out. In the early 90s, NFCB and the CPB, that's National Federation of Community Broadcasters and Corporation for Public Broadcasting, really foisted this program upon us. And I'd like the listeners of WBAI to know how we fought back and how we saved it. And that was by opening up the phone lines and talking about it on the air quite a bit with our listeners, asking them for their opinions and wisdom, and it saved our station. I would just encourage every station to have more call-ins if the listeners really truly own the station.
Let me jump in here. I would certainly agree that that's very important, that the listeners go beyond listening and that we hear from them directly as well. But we also need listeners to participate and others to participate in other ways in helping to strengthen our stations. If, in fact, we are going to survive, we really need to do a lot of educational work in our various communities. A great deal of that will happen on the radio, but a lot of it will happen in other venues as well. And listeners can play an active role in organizing community forums and bringing these issues about control of the media and the role of the media in this country to the institutions and the places they are, the community centers, the schools, the religious centers that they're involved in. There's a lot of work to strengthen each of our stations and this whole network of stations above and beyond what we actually do on the air.
I'd like to get another listener.
Hi, this is Bob Lederer. I'm a WPAI programmer, and I want to congratulate you on a great show. We're about to be embroiled in a genocidal war against Iraq. And this is the kind of thing that Pacifica has always done a really top-notch job of covering. But I think this time we really need to integrate our strategy with the affiliates and indeed with a lot of stations and programs and entities around the country and the world. And I wondered what ideas people have about creating a national programming consortium.
Marty, you want to talk about the Free Speech 101 program we've talked about?
Well, we're just at the beginning stages of talking about the grassroots radio network becoming a producer itself. You know, I think Bob's points are really good. This talent that Kathy mentioned before is out there. It's around the country at these various stations. The problem is that Pacifica has not exercised its leadership, has been unable to mobilize some of these producers to have some leadership in creating national programming, and I hope that that day will come soon. There were efforts in the past, off and on, like on election nights and other important national events, where Pacifica did reach out to its affiliates and try to get information from individual stations. But this requires coordination. It may require a national programming director. It requires some initiative and leadership, some kind of coordination from either the affiliates or Pacifica to put it all together for something that illuminates us all. I would hope that this could happen quickly because I do believe that the talent is there around the country and at Pacifica to put together some of this kind of programming. And as I said before, there couldn't be a greater need.
And I think the other thing to realize is that a project of that magnitude, dealing with such a widespread, decentralized, diverse group of stations and producers, it requires some organizational stability at Pacifica and an awareness of who these people are at these various stations. At our station, we don't really have the resources to produce a lot of local programming, so we have a limited amount of resources to bring to a national project. But other stations like WMNF and Ward and KGNU might have more to offer, but Pacifica really needs to take the lead on that. They're the ones with the biggest stations, the biggest budgets, the longest tradition of doing this kind of programming. And even though I know that Pacifica itself is financially strapped and the people there are overworked and underpaid, those stations still do represent the hope for all of us for coordinated leadership and really leveraging all the resources we have together to make something really big happen.
I just want to add that I think we are ready as Pacifica to turn a corner here now and do much more forward thinking, and that includes first and foremost the programming and the kind of program that you all were just talking about that has to be top on our agenda as we move forward in coming out of the terrible crisis period.
I want to thank Marty Derlin, Kathy Melio, and Steve Pierce.
Thanks to Leslie. It's really great to have an activist as the head of the interim board.
Thank you very much. This is Same Boat Coalition and City Watch. I'm Dina Colbert. It's been a pleasure to do the show on affiliates. It's an important topic.
What a wonderful